Guys, so good afternoon. I'm Shinya Kanemura from University of Toyama. Toyama is located here in Japan. This is my country, and this is my town, and this is Tsubake. So Tsubake is very close to my university. Okay. So today, I'm going to talk on to introduce extended Higgs sectors beyond two Higgs subtleties. But sometimes I also mention about two Higgs subtleties because two Higgs subtleties is one of the most typical and extended Higgs sector. Okay. So at LHC, so the Higgs boson was found, and its mass and quantum numbers and coupling constants have been measured, and the data are now being improved at round two. So the discovered Higgs boson is standard model-like, and no new particle has been found up to now. So we now know some information about the coupling constant. So it's consistent with standard model. So standard model might be enough, but there are some anomalies for that. So it might come true in the future. In addition, we know some established BSM phenomena, such as neutron oscillation, dark matter baryogenesis, and cosmic inflation. We wish to understand these phenomena by extension of the standard model. Also, so although the Higgs boson was found, we know nothing about the structure of the Higgs potential. So, we have some unsolved beyond standard model phenomena. So, but we might be able to solve the problems at temp scale by introducing extended Higgs sectors. For instance, for neutron mass, so neutron oscillation, so we may consider some introducing triplet field, then we can have type 2 seesaw mechanism. And also, we also have some scenario of radiative seesaw. And there are many scenarios for baryogenesis, but now currently, most interesting, important scenario must be electric baryogenesis because it directly coupled to the structure dynamics of the Higgs potential. Also, we may introduce some additional scalars to create some problem relevant to dark matter. But apart from these concrete scenarios for BSM, so we can just think about the possibility of extended Higgs sectors and try to narrow down by experiment. So what is the characteristic of extended Higgs sector? One is, of course, the structure, multiplet structure. So we might introduce some singlet, doublet, triplet, and so on. So each of them has some motivation relevant to some specific scenario of new physics. Also, we have to care about the, some new symmetry relevant to Higgs sector, such as Castorial symmetry, and some symmetry which is discrete or continuous, and exact softly was continuous problem. And if, when we consider extended Higgs sector, so there are several or many scalar couplings, so that even though one of them is constrained by the mass of the Higgs boson 135 GeV, still we have many degree of freedom to take rather large coupling constant. So the strength of coupling constant is also, you know, important, weakly coupled or strongly coupled. And the decoupling property is also important. Whether so the taking heavy, the taking the additional scalars to be heavy, then just decouple, or they have some, they give some interesting non-decoupling effect. So in any case, so as I said, experimentally narrowed down the shape of the Higgs sector gives an gives us an important hint to new physics. So also we can consider various kinds of Higgs sector. There is a very strong constraint from experiment, which is low parameter. So this is a formula of low parameter, which I learned from Higgs Hunter's guide. And so, okay, in each Higgs scalars have the I-spin T and I-spin hypercharge Y. So if we consider just a minimal Higgs sector with one Higgs doublet, then from this formula, we have rho equal 1 immediately. Then what if we introduce another scalars? Then what kind of you know extended Higgs sector satisfy rho equal 1 condition? So to solve, in order to solve this, so we just consider this equation. Then we have this kind of series of extended Higgs sector. So one is singlet, doublet, assume doublet, which is just a two Higgs doublet model. And the next one is zeptet. The next one is a 26 plate, something. However, you know, too high I-spin is far from unitarity, so that it is not realistic. That is. So that so we consider as these extrinsic sectors.
So in this case, the singlet works, but you deduce it from 0 over 0, right?
So that, yeah. Of course, we can introduce some charged singlet also. Charged singlet is not the Higgs, but yeah, we can consider, yeah. Okay, so let's...
But could you show it again? Sorry. You say that what are the quantum numbers at work? So 3, 2, I see. And 25 half, 15
half.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's all zeros.
Eh?
Yeah,
so,
of course.
So this is a 2 Higgs double model just for, you know, starting point. And so we have this kind of Higgs potential. Okay, we assume the soft Wolfson sheets symmetry. Yeah. Then we have five physical states. This after symmetry breaking, they mix with each other, and then mass eigenstates are obtained like that. Then, as you can see, so the lightest one has the same structure as the standard model Higgs boson mass. Namely, the mass comes from Webb. But additional Higgs bosons are different.
So as lambda for you is lambda 3 plus lambda 4 plus lambda 5. What is lambda?
So,
yes.
Lambda is the sum of lambda 3, lambda 4, and lambda 5.
Ah, this one?
Yes.
Yes, so something like
the
summation over here.
The summation.
Sorry, yes. Yes, and then, yeah, this additional Higgs boson normally has two sources for the mass. One is invariant mass, which is related to this one, and is relevant to electronic symmetry breaking. And the second term is from Webb. Okay. So from this structure, we can think about two kinds of standard model-like situation. One is the so-called decoupling regime, in which we just take additional Higgs boson to be very heavy. Then the low energy effective theory is just a standard model. dimension 6 operator like this, and cutoff of this effective theory is a mass scale of addition Higgs boson. Another one is so-called alignment regime, in which we just cut off the coupling between heavy Higgs with gauge bosons. So then we can still save to take these addition Higgs bosons to be rather light. Right. And in this case, the low energy effect theory is not the standard one like, but some others. In this case, so we can expect some interesting phenomena, right? Okay. Now I introduce so other category of the model, which is the model with triplet. In this model, so okay, if you apply this model to the formula or low parameter, then you can find that the low equal usually not one. So we can consider two types of triplet. So one is a real triplet, and the other is complex triplet. Right? The both of them predict low parameter to be like that, so it's not unity. But we have a very strong experimental constraint, so that from this, the vacuum expectation value of triplet must be very small. However, if we introduce both of them at the same time, then the situation changes, in which we just take some vacuum alignment. So this means that we impose some additional global symmetry in the Higgs potential, which is custodial symmetry. So that low parameter is one at this model, at 3 level. Okay. So now, from now, we want to discuss these three categories. One is the indirect test.
So when you ask, so this is into left, cross is into right. I see, broken by the Yukawas, right? It's broken by the top compared to bottom. But okay, this is a natural top Yukawa contribution to the loop. Okay. So the raw parameter will be affected anyway by
Yes.
Correction. So you have to impose this in the Higgs potential, but it's broken explicitly by Yukawas, right?
Right.
So then how is this symmetry preserving the potential?
You're talking about the Georgia mass effect model?
Yes, because you have realization group effects, right, that should affect the original SU2 left cross SU2 right structure. So this cannot be stable under relative correction.
Can't be stable.
So then
the structure of renormalization is different from the standard model. The input parameter is not 3, for gauge part, but 4. The fourth one can be taken to be T parameter, for instance.
Yes, I understand. But
it's broken only by marginal arbitrary.
It's broken by
normalization,
right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then that is like, but just like in the standard model,
it is not.
In what sense?
In the sense broken by the standard model,
that is
the raw parameter is 1 plus the corrections, and this model is not calculable.
Right.
When you do radiation corrections.
That is fine. Okay, but nevertheless, I'm trying to argue that it's also broken by the Yukawa matches.
That's right. It's also broken by G prime.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So in this sense, the source of symmetry breaking.
It's only the symmetry in Higgs potential.
Exactly. Different.
Yeah. It's not stable, right? Because that misaligns the vacuum.
That's why I don't like Georgia Matsui.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. That's right. Okay. And the model row is a predicted number.
Yes,
you don't have to tune anything.
Fair enough. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So the indirect test, we are coupling deviation. So in each non-standard model, they can deviate. I mean, the coupling constants can deviate from the standard model values in a specific pattern, by which we may be able to fingerprint models. The second is, okay, of course, you know, the extended executor has some additional states. So that, you know, the direct discovery is a direct evidence of the extended executor. But when, for instance, when charged Higgs boson is found, then what we can do? So from the property of the charged Higgs boson, maybe we can use the charged Higgs boson as a probe of discriminating models. So we just discuss one of them, examples. The third one, I want to discuss something about the self-coupling constant, so triple Higgs boson coupling. This is very sensitive to the extended Higgs sectors in alignment limit. The prediction on triple Higgs boson coupling can be completely different from the standard model. Okay, so this is data you already know very well. Okay, let's consider the gauge coupling constant in each model of which predict rho equal 1 at 3 level. Okay, singlet model. So in this singlet model, the wave of singlet does not mean anything about, I mean, it's not related to electric vacuum. So that is only, it does not mean unphysical. So that, you know, it's just, you know, how to say, only doublet wave has a meaning. But after simply breaking, of course, they mix with each other, so that we have mixing angle alpha, like that. A two Higgs doublet model is like this, so just sine beta minus alpha. And Georgi-Mahachik model is very similar to this one, the structure. However, because of the different group theory effect, so we have this kind of factors. So by this effect, the size of kappa can be easily larger than unity. The similar property is also in Zeptet model. So the kappa V is calculated like that. So these two can predict the kappa V greater than 1.
So in the, what is the definition of beta in the Schorschei-Mahachik model?
Beta was a mean, okay, oh. This one. So, yes, this is a doublet wave, and this is a,
yeah.
And eta is some factor. Eta is a factor which is different in each model.
It's one predicted number, or it's something complex.
Yeah. Sorry?
It's a given number.
Yeah, it depends on the model.
Depends
on right. How the okay, so, and the next, I want to discuss something. So, the kappa z, the deviation from unity, means the upper bound of the extra Higgs boson mass. So this is the case for the singlet model. So as you can see, if there's a kappa z, this is a deviation from unity, is something some percent. Then it gives a strong upper limit on the mass of the second Higgs. Mm. A similar one can also obtain in the two Higgs order, right? So if, in future, if we have this kind of deviation, so kappa V is not unity, then we have upper bound on the mass of the Higgs
addition. So this bound is mostly perturbativity bound on the off-diagonal elements.
Right. Okay. Right. So now that we know the mass of the lightest Higgs boson, so that by this unitarity, we can constrain the second instance. Okay, so the two extrovert model. So normally people discuss type 1, type 2, but under the totally broken this symmetry, so logically we can have the four type of Yukawa interaction. Type 1, type 2, and what we call type X and type Y. Then the Yukawa interaction are different in each type of Yukawa interaction, each type of models. So that you know the direction of the deviation is different in each model. So this is a you know deviation. Okay, this is a leptonic kappa and this is a down type for kappa. So as you can see, so type 1, 2, XY, the direction of deviation is different. So that in near future, if we can find some deviation from standard model limit, then we can identify the type of Yukawa interaction, assuming two extra order. Okay, next we consider other model than two extra order model. So this is a Yukawa interaction. So in this kind, in this category of model, so singlet model, type 1, 2 extra order model, Georgi-Yama-Hacek model, and Zeptet model, they all you know, has a universal Yukawa. That means that you know, a kappa is universal for all fermions. And okay, and this is kappa V. So we already discussed, you know, the property of this.
Can you have a different coefficient? I thought when you showed us before on kappa V.
Was 2 square root of 2.
Yeah, 2 square root of 2, and here 2 square root of 6 over 3.
Okay.
Which one's right?
It's different?
I see next square root of 3 in the denominator.
First. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So it is 2 root 2.
Yeah.
Okay. So you might want to just fix that before you post the transformations.
Okay. So that the direction of deviation again different in each model. So even though the universal coupling is shared, the same one in these models, but the coefficient is different. So that we can discriminate. So this is a rather busy, right? Busy figure, but this is kappa V, and this is the universal kappa F. So we have data like this, but still very large. Okay. So as you can see, okay, I don't explain detail, but so maybe you already understand. So if we have some kind of deviation, we can basically you know identify the model indirectly. Okay, then in future, so okay, with 300 inverse Hamiltonian, so the accuracy is improved and high luminosity LHC the further improved. Okay. So that we can expect this kind of fingerprinting models. At okay, but so when we consider this kind of product, so this is just at 3 level. So we may be, okay, we want to know so how the situation can change if we contain quantum correction. So this is the result, part of the result for the radical corrections. So this sphere can be compared to the, okay, singlet here, and two extrovert model, this real curves, right? So,
yes.
Yeah. So we scan the inner parameters, mass in the mass of the second Higgs boson and mixing angles under the theoretical condition of perturbative unitarity, vacuum stability, and the long vacuum conditions. So that and this is a resolution of high luminosity LHC, I think, and this red one is ILC. This figure is a similar figure, but this is a kappa gamma and kappa z. So as you see, so we can expect to discriminate, even including NLO effect.
Sorry, what is kappa z? Sorry.
So this kind of calculation has been done by this full set of Fortran code. We say H cap. So we have done, we made the Fortran code at one loop evaluation of Higgs boson coupling in each kind of these models. So most of codes are ready. And, so maybe in near future, if all goes well, we put it in public. Okay, so next, so I want to discuss something about doubly charged scalars. So doubly charged scalars is really the evidence of eccentric sector beyond the two Higgs orbitals, right? And doubly charged Higgs boson appear in models with triplet and higher representation. One motivation is a type 2 seesaw mechanism for neutral mass. A double charge singlet can also appear in various models for loop induced neutral mass. So, okay, in the triplet model, the double charge boson decay into the same sign dileptron or diboson, depending on the size of the vacuum expectation value of triplet. So this is a branching fraction. Okay. Then, so assuming the dileptron decay, then what kind of limit we obtain? So this is quite strong. So it's already 500 GeV or something. This is assuming the 100% branching ratio, but still is strong. So for the case of diboson, however, the constraint is much relaxed. It's still just 90 GeV or something. So that we can still consider a little bit of light double charge Higgs boson.
So this 90 GeV band comes from which experiment?
Atlas.
I see.
I think this one. So diboson and L plus, yeah, same sign dileptron.
Yeah, it's also then the same as paper on this, which is in this context over technology.
So
So there's a CMS paper on the same SMW search as well, which actually does interpretation directly in the model. Very nice. It's always ignored.
Okay.
I know why it's ignored, because it's under standard model, but it's
I see.
To give the same limit?
Better.
but if WW when the mass is below 80, both W's are off-shell, right? So then, it's just a higher order decay, so it's too, well, it's not WW, right? It's too L to nu, but it's not WW. So.
But you don't reconstruct the W mass anymore. Why it doesn't matter?
Yeah.
Well, it's just to name it WW. There is no such a thing.
Well, really great place to measure the width of the domain.
Sorry?
Okay.
So how does the CMF limit compare to the 87? Do you know?
We give a limit as a function of for the cross section of the W charge ticks. It's 100% branching ratio into W. Yeah.
Okay. So, if you want surprises me a little bit, that 2 W's of shell dominate compared to 2 tau's or something like this. So, isn't it surprising that you have this heavy off shell effect and there's still
2 tau's and 2 neutrinos as well? So, 2 tau's and 2 neutrinos as well.
Two thousand. Yeah, two thousand. No, that would violate that one. That would violate that one. So I want to discuss some motivation of W-charge exhaustion. So one is a triplet model. So as I said, this is type 2 CISO model. So okay, this model, so the Newton mass is given by this diagram. So here, so triplet is mediated. Okay. So this is dimension 5, Majorana type Newton mass diagram. So this is so-called type 2 CISO. And the mass is given like this. So it's proportional to the Yukawa interaction. So that the flavor structure of Newton Yukawa is directly related to the mass structure. So it's very interesting. And the other very interesting point is that from this Lagrangian, the triplet field only coupled to the left-handed leptons. Okay, so next, the double charge singlet. The motivation is G bubble model. So in this model, so the neutron mass is induced at two-loop level. So by this diagram. Here, there's a double charge singlet. Okay. The dimension 5 neutron, Majorana neutron diagram.
Okay, I'm sorry. So then, in this degree dimension that you have, it's clear that the neutral component will couple to neutrinos, but the charge 2 component cannot couple to anything, right?
You need to have this the left side, then this must be triplet, right?
They must be neutral in that case. I'm asking about the charge.
No. So this is doublet. Lepton doublet, and then triplet here.
Yeah, but if you put the neutrinos, the triplet will have the neutral component.
Yes, of course. Okay.
I'm asking, what is the coupling of delta plus plus from this
direction?
So
delta plus, you mean? So okay. Same as this one. Right?
Is it? So?
Yes. It must be same.
So that means there is a lepton number violating
couple. So in this model, so this triplet carries a lepton number.
Carry lepton number, right? Then how is subtraction is wrong?
So lepton number is broken at here.
No couplings to tau's, just due to gauging.
Yeah, in case you might ask you forget it. So, but what is the dimension there? So,
okay,
what about that dimension there? So,
I don't think you get a.
Maybe take
one
of the tools. Should be
Project them on. So, what do you mean? So, okay.
He's asking whether it's a tau plus,
yes. coupling to delta plus plus in that Lagrangian up there. I think that's what you're asking.
That is a question. So I thought that that is impossible from the structure. No, Gaussian invariance is not a problem. So in principle, it's double, double, triplet. So that is not a problem. So.
All right. No, so this carries left number.
Right.
Yeah. Left number 2 and minus 1, minus 1. So that, right?
Right.
Oh, but the. what's the H? What's the typical size of H?
H, okay. okay, so this is the mass. Mass matrix of neutrinos, and okay, this is H, so maybe this is not necessary, yeah. So okay, so this combination is very small because this is a neutrino mass, right? So if this is a table scale, then table scale,
yeah, there's a parameter.
This must be very small.
The H.
Very small, yeah.
Right, so 10
to the minus 10 or something.
Sorry?
10 to the minus 10, 10 to the minus 8. Very small.
That's why the coupling to tails is
being ignored. Being ignored. But what is mu? Because I thought that the trick here in the type 2 system.
Mu is here. Yeah, mu is here. So.
Is that you could play with mu to
yes. have. This dimension for. Okay, coupling constant. okay, there are two dimensions for, parameter. This one and this one.
Right. Mm. okay, very good. So there is a game here that one can play, right? Increase the couplings. Because I thought that people play with this game, reducing mu to cover
right.
For this model to be detectable, right?
Okay, this because this is a three level, so that as I say, so we have to fine tune the couplings.
Exactly.
You have to avoid this. So of course, you can have the help of the loop saturation vector, right?
Because there is a possibility, therefore, that H is not negligible. Mm. And then when you go below 93, so because I was arguing, you remember my question, so that I was saying, how can you compute this as two W's being produced? Mm. Because there is of shell, the two W's are of shell, and that should cause a significant suppression of the rate. You have a four body decay rate with two W's of shell. Mm. So then the answer is the coupling should be negligible, right? The other coupling should be negligible. But I in see. This model, you could play with higher coupling, so far as I remember.
Yeah. In the case of very light, light triplet, yeah. I understand, yeah. But once it becomes on shell, then it's okay, right? Okay. yeah. And this is charge singlet. And this K is a charge singlet, W is charge singlet. So the in this case, so different from the triplet like W charged. So it only coupled to right handed. Okay. So these are all leptonic decay. So that currently the leptonic decay gives a lower bound like this. so that if as a double charge explosion is at the table scale, then it might be found in round two, right? then once the double charged scalars are found at the round two, then what we can do? so maybe we can try to distinguish single drag double charged from the triple drag one. Okay? By using the different property of chirality.
So now we are considering cases where the, say, top loss is significant? Has a significant branching ratio?
Yes.
In this case. I mean, before we said that the top loss branching ratio is very small.
No. So, you, okay. If triplet web is small, then this is mainly K-mod. I mean,
it's
a directon, yeah.
Directon dominates.
Directon dominates, okay. Yeah. And, okay, whether, so the branching fraction, I mean, between mu and tau or something, different, I mean, depend on the scenario. But if one of the lepton is a tau, then tau decay into, you know, hadron, something. Then, for instance, if this decay into pi, then this is coupling by left-hand neutrons. So that, you know, this is chirality. So that if this is a right-hand, then, you know, the pion, emitted pion is energetic. And if this is a left-hand, then this is soft. So that by using this, we can, you know, study the distribution, energy distribution of this system. Then, as you can see, so we can clearly separate it, the left-handed and right-handed. So by using this property, we may be able to distinguish.
I think we did a similar argument many years ago with Edward Boss and Marcela
Cadena
that we may discuss
them later,
but
okay.
Same,
okay.
The same
yeah.
Idea.
Yeah. Yes. Then, so, no, but double charge Higgs is still, okay, already rather heavy, so that the production cross-section is small. So I just naively count the event number, then this is just order one, so it's not sufficient. However, if we use other decay modes, something like hadronicon, the leptonicon, not only tau, but not only pion, okay, so tau to rho nu, or tau to a nu, and tau to leptonic decay. So as you can see, the difference is smeared a little bit. But the number is not very much, but a little bit, yeah. So if we combine everything, then we may be able to discriminate the left singlet-like double charged and triplet-like double charge exposure. Okay. Skip. Okay. This is a HWZ vertex, which is very special for the exotic sectors. But I think the last time this was already discussed a little bit. But I only mention something. Okay, HWZ comes from the breakdown of the custodial symmetry in kinetic part of the Higgs sector. So this form factor is given by this. Very similar to low parameter, right? Then from this one, we can quickly, you know, obtain the formula for this form factor in each model. W-like Higgs sector predicts F is zero. But it can appear at loop level. And the size is proportional to the breakdown of the custodial symmetry in the loop particle. For instance, so top-bottom loop, so the induced form factor is proportional to the mass difference of top and bottom. If top and bottom is degenerated, it disappears. Okay? It is proportional to the breakdown of custodial symmetry in the loop sector. Okay. So finally, so I want to go to the discussion on self-coupling constant. So
before you go there, so there must be a trivial, obvious way of visualizing why time you see charge hits in proportion to the breakdown of the row of the custodial symmetry, or row different from one.
What you can have one row equals one. Well, you showed the Georgia Hotchkiss model as an example of that.
Okay.
So it's not okay. In some model, it's correlated,
right? But it's not generic.
Mm. But in some other model with some more degree of freedom,
right?
Then only when there are cancellations, essentially, right. So that lead to rho equal one, then you can have this.
Right. Okay, so the self-coupling constant. My question is, so whether we can extract the information of the triple Higgs boson coupling from the double Higgs boson product. Okay. So it was considered to be challenging to measure the self-coupling constant at LHC. So that we always consider, you know, this is a business for ILC, or lepton collider, right? In which they claim that they can measure the self-coupling to be with a 10% accuracy. So in the scenario of electronic baryogenesis, the requirement of strongly first order phase transition leads to a large deviation in triple Higgs boson coupling, as we discuss a little bit later. So in the case of renormalizable extended Higgs sectors, the large deviations are caused either three-level mixing effect between Higgs and singlet mixing, okay, three-level, or some quantum effect, quantum non-decoupling effect. So, if we have some large deviation in this kind of scenario, then can we test such scenario at LHC? This is my question. Okay. So this is the current limit for 8 dB. So I think the upper limit is I think 40 or 50 was times greater than the
standard. This is resonant production, right? So yeah. This is limit for resonant production, not for continuum.
Mm. You also have to have
because it has a characteristic scale that is.
Okay, so let's consider a little bit about the triple Higgs boson coupling. I mean, yeah. So this is here. So this is very important. Parameter, to determine the Higgs potential. If we calculate the one loop contribution to this coupling, then denormalized one loop contribution is given like this in the standard model. So this is top loop effect. Mm. So as you can see, this effect is mass to the fourth power, so it is very large, right? It's very impressive. And of course, top is already discovered. But this same situation can also apply for the new physics, new particles. This is a a case for that, extended Higgs sectors, we have Adsorption Higgs particles. Then we have this kind of scalar mass force power.
So before you continue, so is V here 246 in the normalization? Is V the vacuum flotation value 246?
Yes.
So this is a small correction, right? So it's, because it's empty to a 4, but it has a 1 of V square and I square is roughly empty to a 4, so it's a 10% correction. So.
I think so.
Yeah?
It's a loop in the end.
It's a loop, yeah. So therefore, then...
But of course, there are ways and models where you can get very large deviations in the cubic Higgs coupling.
Well, I know, so, I work on them, but
yeah,
I'm asking about that correction. That
sure. No. I mean, just in the purpose of discussion, talking about generic extended Higgs structures, I mean, the triple Higgs vertex, yes, is very, very important.
Right. Okay, sorry, very good.
Okay, then, so because of this non-decoupling effect, so we have this kind of 100% of corrections, right? Of course, you know, it depends on the other, you know, mass parameters. If the mass of the Adsorption Higgs boson is very large because of large invariant mass, then on this suppression factor is going to zero, so that the correction is decoupling with the large mass limit.
Can I ask a question? So in this low mass region, the so that's fine, you get these deviations, but I mean in practice, if you have a new scalar that's relatively light, then you have a new diagram that contributes to continuum production of di Higgs, right? So now, like I imagine a new scalar mediating, you know, in the S-channel. So, and that interferes with the box and with the other intermediate. So, I mean, you can in principle have, you know, some reasonably large deviation, but they can be cancellations. And so what you really should look at is the production cross-sections.
So, for instance, so double Higgs production mechanism, so they don't have any mechanism to give this kind of force power of mass, right?
Right. But I know, I'm just saying that if phi is relatively light, right? Then you know it can contribute as much as the Higgs mediated di Higgs production.
Okay.
Right. So I mean I'm saying that the observable is not the, I mean I'm saying that you have to take this extra diagram into account when you're trying to figure out, you know, trying to infer the triple Higgs coupling, right? So it's no longer just the box and the one S channel, you have in principle several other diagrams.
So you have the S channel, so you will have resonant production.
But yeah, resonant production, but if it's lighter than the Higgs mass, then you get an additional continuum.
That is true. Okay.
Yeah. So now I'm concentrated on, you know,
the
coupling. Then after that, we try to discuss. Yeah.
Can you go back to that? So, just trying to see how, the M phi to the fourth is the loop effect, so the coupling must be hidden somewhere.
In the difference, M phi square minus M square is lambda V square. Put the denominator in the second term.
Yeah.
Put common denominator, and you will see lambda square V square over M phi square.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So the cap is directly proportional to couplings, to a fourth. It's just that it's written in a funny way.
Right. So why this kind of, you know, funny, you know, property is interesting? Is, you know, it's related to the scenario of baryogenesis. So the requirement of strongly first order phase transition. So, okay, so I quickly explain something about the condition of solidly first order phase transition, which is given by this IC over TC is greater than 1. Okay, that's it. So, this comes from the quick spiral decoupling condition. Mm. But anyway, so by solving the final temperature potential, we can obtain this condition is the condition of this one. So that we need a very large coefficient in this one. But in the standard model, it is well known that it cannot be satisfied. But in the extended Higgs sectors, we can easily realize phi sub TC greater than 1 because of the non-decoupling thermal loop effect. When this works, at the same time, the similar non-decoupling effect appear in the self-coupling constant. That deviates the coupling constant from the standard model prediction largely. So they are related. So this is a case for the two Higgs doublet model. So as you can see, this is a region of baryogenesis. So in the very region, so you can observe very large deviation in the triple Higgs boson coupling. And this is the case for the two Higgs doublet model. But I have confirmed that in many various kind of extended Higgs sectors, we can have the same relationship between triple Higgs boson coupling and the condition of strongly first order phase transition.
So this for this formula that you wrote before to apply, of course, little capital M should be small compared to the couplings
exactly.
Pi square, right? So then there are thermal corrections to the masses that if you have large couplings probably are relevant. So do you consider those thermal effects in the scalars? You know what I'm meaning? So then when you put the final temperature, of course, the mass should be replaced by m squared plus the t squared times something. Yes. Okay, maybe we can discuss later.
But here there's this interplay with these zero temperature loop corrections these radiative corrections reduce the effective quartic, right? So then that's the mechanism here, right? So the depth of the minimum, the standard electric symmetry breaking minimum,
right,
relative to the sort of top of the Mexican hat is
right,
lower. So then these thermal effects it's easier to generate a barrier between them. So then, so you need the thermal effects to get
get
a phase transition.
Okay.
But this correlation only holds when when you're driven by these loops, right? So I mean, you have extended Higgs sectors where one of the fields gets embedded before, and then it's you don't need these large loop contributions.
Yes. So for instance, there are two mechanisms. One is to use a thermal loop, but the other is use a mixing, right? But in the case of using mixing, we can find the similar correlation between large deviation in triple coupling and satisfying the condition. Okay, so this is the subject of this slide. So okay, now let's turn to the other mechanism. So singlet mixing, okay? This is real singlet. So and in order to change the shape of the potential, these trilinear term, I mean three-point function and this coupling are very important. And this mixing parameter induces mixing between doublet and singlet, of course. So this is a work by Fuyuto and Senaha. So in the singlet mixing, so this kappa is a universal scale factor, and this is the mass of the second singlet. In this region, the quick strong first order phase transition condition is satisfied. And so in this contour is a triple Higgs boson coupling deviation. So as you can see, so still we have large deviations. But my question is, this is a three-level analysis, right? So my interest is what if quantum correction is taken into account. Okay, so as I said, so we have calculated, you know, self-coupling constant in these models at one loop level. And parameters, we have a lot of parameters, inner parameters. So we have to try to constrain parameters. So these are conditions that we used. So vacuum stability condition, perturbative uniformity, and avoiding wrong vacuum condition. Also, so we take care, lambda pole is larger than 3 dB or 4 dB. Then we obtain this. This is triple Higgs boson coupling deviation as a function of second Higgs mass. This is a case for singlet. Okay. In the case of singlet, because of mixing, so they can have positive deviation. Yeah. Okay. Already at 3 level. But here in the 2 Higgs level model and most of other extended sectors, the 3 level deviation is rather negative because of mixing. Okay. And then one loop contribution is very huge. So this is a case of 2 Higgs out model. So this is a mass to the fourth power, right? But the large mass coupling is bounded by unitarity.
Sorry, can one easily understand why you get a 500% correction at the loop level? What formula?
Yeah, so this is same. Similar, right?
So yes, this
we just set some parameter and show some curves, right?
So but these colors are five. So black is 500%. No, what is this?
Yes. So this is like this. So okay, we scanned and we tried to find some maximal enhancement.
So, because you are showing now something that is way above this, and for 500 GV, right? So, what are the lambdas associated with that? So, it should be very big, right?
Something like 10 or something, so just below 4 pi.
So you go all the way to 4 pi.
So just below 4 pi. I mean, yeah.
Is it actually possible that this is also the remnant of using the original normalization scheme?
Yes, so this result was obtained by using original scheme.
Because there was a recent work for the singlet extension.
This is also.
They used an improved renormalization scheme.
On shell.
They improved on shell scheme.
What is the gauge dependence? What is the gauge dependence?
Of the renormalization scheme.
For this model, so singlet, so yeah. We don't have to care about gauge dependence. Because this only has there's no tangent limit.
In general, you would admit that it looks strange that the loop corrections can be much larger than the 3 level corrections induced by mixing, right? So there must be some extreme gain being played here.
I know what you say, but okay, in the extended Higgs sector, we have several number of coupling constants, right? Mm-hmm. So that we can have the hierarchy, right?
Okay, so that
it's not a part of the expansion, right?
Mm. Suppose cosine alpha minus beta equals 0, exact alignment. What happens to this graph?
Yes, I have this one. So cosine alpha equals 0, okay, this is 2 equal double to model, right?
Okay.
Cosine, this is renormalized beta minus alpha, okay? So 0, we have this kind of. But in the case of singlet, we don't have this kind of, because of the Okay, this area is killed by, you know, the condition of wrong vacuum.
I see.
Yeah. So that is a clear difference. Okay, so I think I have to finish. Okay, so anyway, so we see that, you know, if we include a radiative correction, then we can maximally, you know, 300, 400, 500% of deviation we can obtain, right? Okay, this kind of large deviation can be clearly measured at ILC, but ILC is far future, right? So, yeah, I believe ILC approved.
Depends on how long you wait, then we'll announce it.
Yeah, if you do an energy upgrade and then a velocity upgrade, and you can wait for a long time.
Yes. I think.
But for the ILC, is that there's a technical design report for that?
ILC is, I think, ZHH production is very useful for the positive, you know, deviation of triple equal source coupling, because it's something like that, right?
Or linear, I see.
Linear. So, yeah, not like this, right?
Very nice.
Yeah. But W fusion in E plus E minus is also has the same similar structure like this. So ZHH. So at the 500 GB machine, it's very, I think, very useful.
So you have a similar plot for the ILC as a function of lambda or lambda standard model?
Now?
So, yeah.
No, I don't know.
Okay, very good.
But by the way, the 500 grid, it seems to be always in a positive direction, at least in the 2-HGM.
Okay, so in this kind of scenario, the bosonic loop effect is very important. Mm-hmm. So to make it realize first order phase transition.
But do you get a sign, definite sign?
So it always give the same direction, positive.
Positive.
Positive, yeah.
So looking at this plot, we go to the right at one.
So that, this one. Yeah. Standard model is here, right?
Right. So
and here, right?
We go to the right. Yes.
We go to the right. Okay. So 500%. Yeah?
Of course, if they go 100%, you're in big
shape. That you are no order of magnitude and several factor enhanced.
Well, unfortunately,
no, I mean,
mostly the corrections are bad.
Yeah, because if you get 100%, you'll be right at the minimum.
Yeah, then in negative corrections, that would be good.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, so that's a big challenge.
Only to find to more or less recover the standard model correction.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 100% or 400% is about.
No, it's very serious. If we cannot extract the information of the triple Higgs boson coupling at Hadron Collider, right? Yeah. Even though W Higgs production mechanism can be observed, but it's not the information of the direct information of triple Higgs boson coupling. So that I want to have extract the information.
But, I don't know if you agree with this, but I have been doing this again. So I think that it's worth computing not the triple Higgs coupling,
But just the double Higgs production, the loop corrections to it, that has two ingredients. One is this, but of course there is the direct boxes that can produce.
Yes, yes.
And my effect,
we should, we should do this. Yeah, of course.
There's also the whatever other light states.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when just concentrated on triple Higgs cap in the loop level might give you the wrong.
So for instance, we have to have this kind of large enhancement.
Yeah, but again, so this is a resonance thing. So
this is resonance, yes.
Yeah, this is a different story.
It will interfere with the controller.
Right, well, in general, there's interference, but there's but if it's heavier than 2 Higgs, then you have resonant production, and that, of course, will be much easier to look for.
Yes.
But of course, if you have other things that contribute to the loops that have nothing to do with a singlet or a neutral scalar, so they might affect the triple Higgs coupling, but they may affect directly at the box level, like the top, right? The double Higgs production, and then one should extend this analysis.
I'm not sure still why you're calling this a non-decoupling effect, because it still formally decouples in the large M limit.
Yes.
So it's a large radiative correction, but it's just a question of the nomenclature.
I mean, it's not decoupling in the sense that if I require a first order phase transition, I need to have larger and larger contributions, right? But, I mean, yeah, at some point I get to heavy enough masses where I just don't get a strong first-order phase transition.
It's as usual how we get, if you push the masses up by couplings, then it's non-decoupling. Right?
Yeah.
If you push the mass up by soft terms, then it's decoupling.
Right, but we're not pushing the masses up by...
Yeah, look at that. So then in that bound of unitarity, you have couplings that are enormous, right? That is the reason why he gets a 500%, because the mass is getting by a very large coupling.
It's still within the obvious
sense. Well, I mean, if you're in the blue loop area, I assume you're still obeying perturbativity and unitarity.
Yeah, of course. Well, so, and also
maybe one should inquire what the definition is.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, your
effective
loop theory has about this much smoke.
Yeah,
4-5
is a little extreme to me.
Yeah. Yeah, we added all.
You have no effective theory, right? You're going to hit the Landau pole, right? So you have new states that your theory is not defined.
Yeah, so in fact, in the literature, instead of imposing unitarity limits, some people just try to impose limits of perturbativity of the couplings themselves. And then you actually bite much more of the curve.
Right, that is my point.
Yeah.
Right. 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 So, but you see here the definition, because the definition of unitarity is just this thing that is divided by big factor 32 pi, lower than 1/2. That is perfectly okay, but
so we calculated the toriality, Landau pole, and then we also impose that if Landau pole is less than 3 TeV, then not allowed.
Than 3 TeV. I will have said.
But if you impose stronger constraints in unitarity on the lambdas, can you eke out a region where you get significant change to, say, the first order nature of the phase transition? Or do you really always need to be in this region close to 2 pi or 4 pi for the lambdas?
No, we don't need to take it 4 pi or 2 pi.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are regions where the lambdas are order 1.
Okay, so in this study, I tried to have a maximum radiative coefficient, right?
Right.
So, but so actually, so in order to get first order phase transition, we just get 30% or 50% enhancement, right? So it's far from non-perturbative region. Because the purpose of this study is just, you know, the challenge of you know, extracting triple coupling at NHC, right? So we wanted to prepare some kind of sample model.
Can I ask one more question? On those plots that you showed, those regions, so when you compute the stability of the vacuum, you're using the full, you're not using those expressions on the last slide, right? You're not using the tree level expressions. You're actually minimizing the full long loop potential. Those are just tree level.
So which, sir, again, please.
Oh no, I'm just asking, when you check the stability of the vacuum,
mm-hmm.
you minimize the full one loop effective potential, right? You don't just check the tree level.
No, we only imposed three level. Yeah, so unitarity bound also, you know, this is a three level. So the thing, okay, imposed condition is all, you know, three level condition. So it's very difficult to include a one loop condition.
So any other questions?
So this kind of, enhancement, if the triple coupling is this kind of deviation, then the double helix production is a factor here, 35 femtoband to 100 femtoband or something. Then is it possible to see at LHC RAN 2 or high luminosity?
I think so. Yeah.
We'll be able to measure the cross section with about 30 or 40% precision.
No, sorry. If you enhance by a factor of 4 the cross section, you can have a discovery at high luminosity.
No, I mean the standard model that you have this
discovery
the tells you that you have.
No, a standard model, but if you enhance it by a factor
absolutely.
By a factor 4, then we are
released. Run two.
Oh, run two. Run two, you will see very little.
But you could really do 5 sigma even with a factor of 4. Is that?
Yeah, at high luminosity.
When you add 5 there, your cross section is enhanced by vectors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your 3 sigma become easily 5 sigma.
Why, you have 3 sigma now?
It's 3 octobands, yeah.
At the high luminosity, not at
high luminosity, at the standard model, you're claiming now 3?
I claim 3 sigma all the time. It's 2 experiments and a little bit of work.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the statement
that
is...
That seems aggressive at the moment.
I believe that the statement is... So look, 3 sigma and scale like the square root of luminosity. I'm allowed to do this again. So then so that means that the RAN 2, you have barely 1 sigma, right? But now if you enhance the cross-section by a factor 5, of course, we are in business at RAN 2.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 5 times more data. So it's better than luminosity. Run 3. So I mean 300 inverse point over.
No.
Run 3. Well, that is run 3.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is the definition of run 3.
Yes.
What is run 2?
100.
Oh, we're doing.
Oh, run 2 is 100. Okay. So 300. What the
difference is in years?
Yeah. What is 2021? Okay. I am patient. So factor 4 is okay.
Run 2 is 100. Yeah. 300, right?
300,
yeah, fine. Okay, run 3. But there's a shutdown as well.
No.
Run 2
is
for sleepers,
right?
Yes.
Yes.
Two more. We've already had one.
Okay,
yeah, and then the second.
Anyway, I would argue that factor 4 would be fantastic.
Factor 4.
That's the trick.
in sigma.
That would be great.
Now we have three sigma evidence around two. But we haven't. Well, factor four is tough.
Okay, thank you, Shinya.
Okay.